Welcome to this Windows 10 Developer Day. My name is Jan Tielens, and I work for Microsoft over here in Belgium. I'm a technical evangelist, which is not something religious or anything like that. We just talk about technology. First of all, a very practical question. Is there anybody in the room that doesn't speak Limburgs or Dutch? Okay, then we will stick to English, no problem at all. The reason why I'm asking, I feel pretty dumb if I'm speaking all day in English and everybody's speaking Dutch, but if there is, it's a mixed language, totally no problem at all. Another thing that I would like to do straight away is thank PXL for organizing or helping to organize this great event. I guess a lot of students are over here as well, so thanks a lot for offering to make use of this great location. What are we going to do today? Well, first of all, this is an event where you will see a lot of code, so it's going to be quite technical. Of course, we need a little bit of slides to do introductions, stuff like that, but the main focus of today is showing you the code. And not only showing you the code, but also giving you the opportunity to actually try out to build a Windows 10 application using the techniques that we will show in the demonstrations. So be prepared to get your hands dirty as well. Now, I'm not alone that will be presenting to you today. I've got a bunch of great presenters invited, which we have in Belgium in our technical communities. And I also have invited a bunch of what we call proctors, people that can help you during the labs if you have any questions or issues. I think many of them are sitting over here in the front. If you can, guys can quickly wave or give a signal. So if you have difficult questions, ask those guys. They know everything. So then I can sit back and relax. By the way, thanks guys also for being here and supporting this event. Another practical thing for the people that haven't visited this campus yet. There is a guest wireless network, PXL Guest. I forgot to put the TIC. Where you can use Windows 10 and as a username and a password. I hope that works out. If not, let us know and we can ask the nice network people over here to try to get it fixed. When you're going to do labs and exercises later on today, you will be able to download them from this very long URL. If everything went okay, I think you received an email that contains that URL as well. If you haven't got that email with you, no worries, I will put this very long URL on the screen again once you're going to get started with the lab. This is basically, by the way, a URL that points to a GitHub project where you can download the lab files, the lab instructions, including all the slide text that will be presented today. So feel free to take notes, of course, but at the end of the day, you will have pretty much everything that you will see. Then the agenda, we're busy with the welcome. The next session that I will present is going to introduce you to Windows 10 from, let's say, a developer point of view. So we're going to talk about the Universal Windows Platform. After that, we've got a session that is going to show you how to build what we call an adaptive user interface, because we're going to see that Windows will be able to run on a bunch of different form factors. So your user interface needs to be able to cope with that. Then we're going to show some very nice Windows 10 features and learn how you can use them, for example, the lifestyles and the notifications. And by then, it will probably be time to have a nice lunch. Lunch will be in the cafeteria here. And if everything is okay, you receive the card that will allow you to buy a lunch, I guess. So let's see how that's going to work. Now you can see quite some topics that we've got on the agenda. How are you going to be presented? Well, first, small presentation and a demo, let's say half an hour, and then typically half an hour, you will have the opportunity to try to do the same using the lab files that I just explained. In the afternoon, we're going to talk about Microsoft Edge, the new web browser that we've got in Windows 10, and how you can use them to build hosted web applications. We're also going to talk about cloud services. That's a second topic. And then to finish off today, we're presenting a session about more personal computing. And at the end, of course, imagine that you've built a fantastic application and you would like to have millions and millions of people using it. You need to be able to put it in a store. So we're going to explain how the store publishing mechanism is going to work with Windows 10. If you want to, how you can monetize your very hard work. if everything goes by plan, we're going to end up today around 5 o'clock. Another nice thing to mention, I've got with me a fantastic Lumia 830 Windows phone, and we encourage you to tweet about this event with pictures, with remarks, and there's actually a colleague of me that is monitoring everything that is mentioned in the hashtag Win10DevDay, and he is going to pick the best tweet of today that is coming from Hasselt. And at the end of the day, I will actually announce who is the lucky person that will leave the event today with a brand new Windows, with a brand new Lumia 830. So that's a nice present, I think. More presents. I feel like Oprah Winfrey now. Everybody wins, yes. We've got a bunch of books about Azure. They're not yet exposed. I will make sure that during the lunch break, they're on the tables over there. So if you're interested to receive a free book that learns you about the fundamentals that we've got in Azure, feel free to grab one as well. And then the last thing, the last practical thing, to encourage you to stay at least over here till we've got lunch. During the lunch, there will be a nice surprise, also something that you can take with you, that is a gift. To manage your expectations, it's not a Surface Pro or a Surface Book, slightly smaller, but still worthwhile. Let's say it like that. Cool. Any questions at this point in time? I hope everybody is excited to be here as well. So if there are no urgent questions, let's get started with the first real presentation. So first presentation, the introduction to the Universal Windows Platform. Before we can dive into the technical details, there are a couple of things that I have to explain about Windows 10. You probably heard about Windows 10 that was launched a couple of months ago this summer. By now, I think we've got, 110 million devices already running on that operating system. And a quick show of hands, are you guys running also Windows 10 on this computer? I should see all hands, that's great. Who was running Windows 10 on this computer before this event? Very good, you're a fantastic audience. Then you know, Windows 10 is a free upgrade for everybody that's using Windows 7 and Windows 8. And that upgrade is going to remain free until next year in the summer. It doesn't mean that if you install the update that you will have to start paying for it afterwards. Or if you upgrade during that 1 year, then you're good to go for the future as well. Very important to understand is the fact that with Windows 10, we make it possible to run Windows on a large set of different types of devices. You can see the pictures over here on my slides, ranging from very small devices to very large devices. Now, how is that possible? How is that? How is Microsoft actually doing that trick? Well, first thing that we do is we group different types of devices into what we call device families. And all those device families have like a specific flavor of Windows that is running, Windows 10 that is running on top of them. Now, important thing to understand is that all those versions of Windows are actually making use of the same core. So at the base, the operating system is the same. But of course, it makes sense to have, let's say, in a phone form factor, you have some functionality that will actually allow you to make calls. On an Xbox One, probably you would like to have functionality that allows you to make use of a game controller. So for different flavors of Windows, for different types of families, of course, we've got different flavors of Windows. I guess you all know the mobile devices, the phones, the PC, Xbox One, and maybe one that you don't know yet is a Surface Hub. That is a device that we announced some months ago that's like a very big TV screen. A little bit expensive, typically used in boardrooms to do meetings and have live Minecraft as well, and live video conferences, that kind of stuff. That's quite a nice device as well. It will be coming in the near future to Belgium as well. Another cool one is over here on the left-hand side, the IoT devices that are the very small devices. Maybe you have heard about the Raspberry Pi. Who is using a Raspberry Pi? Quick show of hands, a couple of people. I'm a very big fan of the Raspberry Pi. If you've never seen this thing, I've got one with me. So it's actually a very small computer. What does it cost? Like 35 euros. You have to put in an SD card, micro SD card. You can connect the screen. It has four USB ports, an Ethernet port. And you can run Windows 10 IoT Core on this thing. That's a pretty cool thing as well. So all the applications that you will write today, you can also deploy them to this thing if you've got it. The version that runs on this thing is, by the way, free. And it will stay free, even for commercial use. So that's a pretty cool thing as well. And then there's one device family that I haven't discussed completely at the right-hand side, the Microsoft HoloLens. Somebody has a HoloLens? Quick show of hands. Me neither. We tried really hard to bring a HoloLens to this event, but we failed horribly, apologies for that. But the HoloLens is like the VR glasses coming from Microsoft. And the cool thing is, over there, also Windows 10 will be running, so also your Windows 10 applications will be able to execute on that device. Now, why do I talk that much about those different device types? Well, this is very important for you guys as developers, because underneath those different operating system families, we've got that one single universal Windows platform. That means as a developer, you only have to create your application once. If you use the universal Windows platform, that is, it will be able to execute on every form factor that we discussed. So one application can execute on a phone, on a desktop, on a tablet, on the HoloLens, on the Raspberry Pi 2, and so forth, which is actually a pretty cool thing if you ask me. Behind the scenes, we make this possible because of the fact that all those Windows versions have the same core, the same kernel, that is. They've got the same app development platform, so no differences for you as a developer. They've got the same store, so if you publish applications to the store, it's only one store that you should publish to, and people will be able to find your applications depending on the device that they're using to browse to that store. And for developer, there is one development center where you can go to submit your applications, to manage your applications, and so forth. So unification across the board, let's say. That means that the code that you write as a developer to build universal Windows applications is the same for pretty much any form factor. Of course, sometimes in your code, you probably want to do something special, like making use of an API that is only exposed on phones, or only exposed on the Xbox One, or only on the HoloLens. We've got functionality built in that in your code that you're going to write, you will have the opportunity to ask if a certain API is supported. The operating system will report back yes or no. If it's a yes, then you know that you can use that API. If no, then, well, you have to fix that thing in your code, of course. The cool thing is that, you can just have one application. You don't have to have a specific application with that extra functionality or not. As if your application is intelligent enough to actually ask that to the operating system. The result of the hard work that you do as a developer is one single application package. And that's quite a big change if we compare to the previous versions of Windows as well.
Maybe you have
applications for Windows Phone and for Windows 8. And basically, in Visual Studio, you could have one solution. But at the end, it was really two application packages that were coming out of it. Now we've got one application package that can be used to all those different form factors. Enough slides for this introduction. Let's get started with a small demonstration straight away. How I'm going to do my presentations, I'm going to show you more or less what you will be doing during the labs. So you've got an idea what is coming with the labs. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to open up Visual Studio. And if I go and select a new project, the important thing that you have to do as a developer if you want to build for Windows 10 is you select the category Universal Windows Applications, and then you typically go, for example, for the blank Universal Windows Project. If I do that, I will end up indeed with a blank Universal Windows Project. I'm not going to put it in source control. And let me show you the structure for the people that are new to Windows developments that projects have in Visual Studio 2015. So what you see over here, this is my entire project. And there are a couple important assets in there. For example, over here, you've got the file that is called app.xaml. And app.xaml is actually, well, the representation of your complete application. That's like your entry point that, well, will be called when the application has started. Think of it as the main method if you're used to write, I don't know, C or C# code. You typically have only one application.xaml in your entire project, of course. Another important thing over here that we've got, it's called mainpage.xaml, and the name already suggests that it's a page, so it's user interface. So it's going to be displayed, well, better, it's going to display your user interface. When you create a blank application, you will get one blank page. Typically, in real life, you will have multiple pages, of course, because you will have different types of user interface that you're going to present in your application. What else can we see? There is an assets folder where you can find some pictures for the icon and the splash screen of your application. You can add more pictures as well. And there is a project.json file and a package.appx manifest that contains some metadata about your project. Feel free to explore them later on. For now, I'm just going to focus on, let's say, that mainpage.xaml. User interfaces are built using that XML language that we already have quite some time on the Windows platform. Now, I have to warn you, I'm not a very good UI designer, so please don't judge me on my UI skills. I'm very quickly going to hack something together that I can show in a demo. So what I'm going to do is let's go for a stack panel. What is a stack panel in XAML? A stack panel is going to allow you to group together different user controls, and you can align them horizontally, vertically. You can put them in the center, stuff like that. So what I can do is I can say horizontally aligned center, vertically aligned center, like this. And let's say we've got some text. Hustled rocks. And maybe let's give it a nice font size 60. For the fun, I'm also going to add straight away a button that says click me. And for the click event, I will add a new event handler. As you can see, it's quite easy in Visual Studio to do all of that. For the people that have used Visual Studio, you probably know that you can also use a designer to drag and drop your controls onto a design surface. Feel free to use that. I'm a little bit more old school, I think, so I prefer to type the XAML manually. And final thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to give my text block a name. So far, so good. If I switch to the code behind of this page, you will see, indeed, there is an event handler for that button generated. And I'm just going to do the text box.txt is it was clicked, very advanced. When I click the little play button over here on top of my screen, or when I hit the F5 button, you will see that this application is going to be deployed to my development machine that is running, of course, Windows 10. So over here you see indeed Hustle Trucks, and if I click on this button, it was clicked, is going to appear. Everybody was hopefully expecting to see something like this. Now without touching the code, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say to Visual Studio, I'm not going to deploy to my local machine anymore, but I'm going to deploy to an emulator that ships with Visual Studio that is running Windows 10 mobile. So that would be the representation of a Windows phone. So let's do that. Mobile emulator. Let's hit on the play button. I already started the mobile emulator. So that's this thing over here. So in a couple of seconds, you will actually see the same application being executed on a phone. I should have picked a smaller font size, but you get the idea. Or what I can do is I can... also it rocks. There we go. And if I click on the button, of course, it's going to be... change the text. Oh, if you don't like to use the emulator, if you would hook in your physical phone, you can also deploy to a physical phone. That's a thing that you would like to do. Sometimes that is faster. Cool thing is that even if you're using a physical phone or the emulator, you still have those rich capabilities in Visual Studio, like setting breakpoints. For example, if I set a breakpoint in my event handler, if I click on the button, you will see that I actually hit the breakpoint. I can do debugging, stuff like that. So from the point of view as a developer, quite interesting. Now, I showed you the same application on Windows 10, on Windows 10 Mobile. If I would have more time, I could show you the same application running on the Raspberry Pi. Not a single line of code that you would have to change. Cool thing as well is that quite a lot of the, if maybe even all of the Windows 10 applications that ship out of the box are also built as universal applications. For example, your mail client, which is Outlook, is available as a universal application. Not only your mail client, your photos, your text messages and so forth, but also Word, Excel, PowerPoint and OneNote exist as universal applications. So that means that, well, the same application that is running on your desktop or your laptop can also be executed on your phone that is running Windows 10. And I'm going to take a little bit of a risk over here by showing you my next demo. I've got over here a brand new Lumia 950 XL that is running Windows 10 that comes with Continuum. And that's a feature that is going to allow this Lumia to be connected to a dock. So you can connect it to a big screen and a mouse and a keyboard. So let's see what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to warn you, this morning when I tried, it failed once, so bear with me. I can always blame the preview version that I'm running on this device. So first, let's make sure that I'm logged in into this thing. I need to switch the cable. Sorry for that, by the way. If people are sitting in front, this is a dock, it's a small square box. Let's connect the projector to that thing. Then I've got a cable connected to the dock. Okay. I'm going to put the cable on the phone, cross my fingers. And there we go. Resolution is not optimal on the projector, but as you can see, well, it's basically the Windows 10 start menu. And if I want to, I can make use of my phone as a touchpad. So I can go to the start menu, and I can say, for example, I should be able to say, I lost the signal. There we go. I should be able to open up, I don't know, a little difficult to watch on the projector. Come on. Let's take a risk and open up my Outlook email. There you go. Just spam in my mailbox, lucky for me. But you get the idea. This is really cool if you have, for example, not always the possibility to bring a laptop, or if you don't have a desktop that you can use. The Office applications that you know and love are also running on a device like this. Why do I show you this? Well, I hope by showing you this, it gives you some inspiration as a developer and the knowledge that, well, if you have a Windows 10 universal application, it cannot only be executed on tablets, laptops, also on phones, even if those phones make use of Continuum to actually scale to a big screen, which is, I think, pretty cool. Let me quickly switch back to my slides. And let's continue with, of course I should hook up my laptop again. Next thing that I would like to talk about is a couple of changes that we made to how navigation is implemented in Windows 10 applications. What do I mean with navigation? Well, remember that in my previous application, I had one page that contains user interface. Typically, you have more pages that contain user interface, and navigation will allow you to go from one to the other, back, and well, have that implemented. What's the change that we made with Windows 10? Well, on mobile devices and on tablet devices, we've got in the operating system a back button. So that's being displayed in the taskbar for mobile, the mobile operating system, or on the phones, well, also on the taskbar at the bottom left. So that's a thing that you can make use of as a developer. That's something that we didn't have, for example, with Windows 8. Now, this back button is only available when you've got Windows 10 that is running on a mobile or on a tablet. But of course, quite some Windows 10 machines will be running the full-blown version of Windows 10 on a traditional laptop or on a traditional desktop. To be able to support those applications as well, it is possible to provide that back button in the frame of your application. And there are a couple of things that that you need to do. You can see the code snippets on my slides, so I just put them there as reference. Let me just jump into a small demo and that that shows all of this. For this demo, I'm going to start off with an existing application. If I project my screen correctly, you can actually see that. So as you can see, in this application, I have two pages, main page and page two. And this application contains a little bit of code to go from the main page to the second page. See, I switched from the main page to the second page. At this point in time, in this application, there is no way to go back, to go to the previous page. Now we're going to fix that. By the way, the operating system that I'm running on my machine is the desktop mode. It's a full tablet. I can switch explicitly to the tablet mode just to show you. You can see at the bottom the back button appeared. But even if I run this application, I go to the second page, I hit the back button, I actually step back to the previous application. It's not because my application has not told the operating system that it can actually navigate to the previous page. So let's try to add some code to actually fix this. So let's close this thing. And to speed up things a little bit, I'm going to copy-paste a little bit of code. Yeah, that's cheating, I know. The other presenters will do live typing, I think. No? Oh. Let's go to the application.xaml, where we've got a function that is called onLaunched, and that's basically going to be called when your application is going to get started. And in there, I'm going to add some code. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to add an event handler for the navigated event. The implementation of this event handler is basically going to determine... Oh, and I see that I copied even on the wrong location. Should be over here. So the navigated event is basically going to determine if the back button should become visible or not. So if I hit my application, sorry, if I start my application, not hit it, if I hit start, I wanted to say. If I switch to the second page, notice that at the top left, indeed, that back button is going to be displayed. That's the single line, single line of code with the event handler that I added. Back button is not going to do anything because we haven't implemented it yet. So let's grab a second piece of code. So what I need to do is I need to have an event handler for the back requested. So whenever somebody is going to click on any of the back buttons, this code will be executed. And the code that I will execute is basically going to check if we can go back to the previous page, the Windows 10 application. It's going to keep track of, let's say, the history of your navigation. If I just hit F5, I can show you the result. Notice on the home page, no back button yet. Click on go to page, end up on the second page. I do have my back button, and if I click on it, indeed, I navigate to the second page. Sorry, to the first page, of course. How is this going to behave in tablet mode? Well, when I switch my computer once again in tablet mode, and if I run the application again, if I go to the second page, notice there is no back button in the Chrome, in the UI of my application itself. We do have the back button of Windows, and that's now going to take the role of going back to the previous page. So that's a small change for people that are used to build, let's say, Windows 8 applications. Final thing that I can quickly show you, once again, is by not deploying to my local machine, but deploy to Windows 10 again, the mobile version that is. Okay, so I've got the same application running. Go to the second page. And once again, I've got the back button that will allow me to bring back to the second page. So that's the functionality that I wanted to show to you. Let's quickly finish off this presentation. One thing that I didn't show you in my demo explicitly, but if you're interested, you can try it out in the lab that you're going to do. What you can do as a developer as well is you can choose to provide your own back button in your application. And the user interface that I showed you comes with the operating system. It's provided to you as a functionality, as a feature. If you're not happy with how the out-of-the-box back button looks like in the UI of your application, well, you are in total control to have your own control anywhere in the user interface.
It makes sense to put it at the top left, because that will be where the user is going to expect it to be. But it's not a very hard requirement, let's say. Cool. So far for the demos.
And the presentation that I had in mind to show to you for this very first session. And at this point in time, it's already time that you get your hands dirty and try to start, try to create your very first universal Windows application. So for the next 30 minutes, you've got some time to work on the first lab. And for the people that don't have the link handy, let me show you that link once again.